of Dessler and especially Baruch Kamel. So if you turn to the pages which I've printed, turn to those pages and the Jerusalem Bible, we want to turn to these presents which Avraham gave to his children from his other wives, which is even a halakha that continues until today, which is being observed until today. It's quite remarkable. So you find this in chapter 25 of Reishis, verse 6, which is in the Jerusalem Bible on page 26, bottom of the page, where it says that Avraham gave everything that he had to Yitzchak, which is a reference to his particular covenant which he made with Hashem, but to the sons of his co-wives whom Avraham took, and some say his co-wife includes Hagar, whom he remarried. So he gave them matanot, presents, and he sent them away from Yitzchak his son, Be'edenu Chai Kedmo El Eretz Kedem. Now, to the east, it says there again, to the land of the east. These are phrases that are used later in the Tanakh. For example, it says by Shlomo HaMelech that his wisdom was greater than all the wisdom of the east, the far east, Kedma. It goes much further, because who was the founder of the Greek alphabet, according to the Greeks?
Israel?
Israel? Kadmos. It was Kadmos. Called Kadmos. They called him Kadmos.
Kadmos?
Kadmos, from the east. Well, as we've explained it quite often, that Shlomo HaMelech was very much admired by the people in the Far East for his great wisdom. His wisdom was even greater. But it was understood that in the East there was a development of a high, very high level of understanding of life and preservation of the Noahide Code, and people used to strive for saintliness on their level. And this is referred to a few times in the Tanakh. And these are the last descriptions of Avraham's activity before he describes his death. So, the B'nai Keturah, if you look at the bottom of the previous page I left with you yesterday, it says, Rashi brings on the verse, Natan Avraham Matanot, the sages say it's a reference to Shem Tumah, names of impurity. And Rashi explains what's names of impurity in the Gemara, Keshafim U'Masa Shedim, magic and the work of demons. And as Rav Dessler explains in another large essay, he speaks about magic being the ancient form of wisdom. As we see also by Paro, the magicians were wise people. The magicians did not only include people who, in our eyes, based themselves on superstitions. No, we know the Egyptians have great scientific knowledge. And the magicians certainly included very many masters of science. And they used the sciences. The ordinary public regarded them as magical. And the truth is, today also, most people, when they think of scientists, they think of scientists like magicians. And that's been developed in modern times, even the Western world. Their attitude to science is so dogmatic. You know, that people have blind belief, just like we have blind belief in these magicians. So they have blind belief in science. Anything you say in the name of science, I think it's already completely correct, which it isn't. It's based on all types of theories. Most of the pop, popularizers of science today are really scholars who they live already 50 or 100 years earlier. In other words, they're just quoting things that were said by scientists 100 years ago. But the modern scientists, the frontiers of science, have got different ideas. And they recognize the limitations of science, which some of the teachers don't recognize. Like, give you examples of what takes place here in Israel. Fancy a person who's one of the greatest professors of science. They made him head of the science department, Ministry of Education. But because he said, we've got to allow the ability to give a design explanation of nature, so they dismissed him. These people, they don't know science. Today, I'll tell you, there are more priests and also even so-called rabbis who go and say that according to science, the Torah is incorrect. Yeah, that's what they say. Not even Christians say that, or even they don't believe in God. Like in England, we had this famous bishop who became very famous through his book called Honest to God, Honest to Nature, in which he said, I'm a bishop, but I have to admit that according to science, we can't believe in God. I mean, there are hundreds of books by priests who have a little smattering of science. Like, I tell you who said this already, I think Pasteur, the great scientist, said, a little science leads a person away from religion. And deep science brings it back to religion. You want to know if one of the greatest scientists a few hundred years ago was Isaac Newton. No question, everybody looks at him, he's the most brilliant scientist, and he created a whole new discovery how to approach the scientific world of his time. And the truth was, they only found it in the last 20, 30 years, they found his papers which he kept secret. And he studied the Bible in Hebrew, he learned also the Talmud, and he became, became like Gerd Zedek in his concept. But he knew he can't keep his place in Oxford or Cambridge. I mean, he wouldn't reveal it. Although it comes through in a lot of his statements, but they found even his papers were analyzed, even had heard explanations of the measurements of the Tanakh, brilliant things also concerning the sanctuary and the temple.
Yeah?
Yeah. So this goes on until today. Anyway, so Avraham Avinu, I want to get back to this, Shem Tumah Maaseh Shedim, and he adds to this, Shem B'Tumah means, it's like this, the holy name of Hashem, which has a deep power, can also be used by Matzav Shel Tumah, V'Sheikayim Otam Gam B'Tumatam, which can still have a power in the world of impurity. And here, Rav Dessler, if you turn over the beginning of the page here, 462, and look at the notes at the bottom. The sages say that there was an angel called Sham Hazayim, who came down to the world and brought about immoral relationships with the daughters of Adam. And then they also say, when he was using his destructive powers, he mentioned the name of Hashem and went up to heaven to teach us that with the mind of a person, he can transform the upper spiritual world even when his heart and his body exist in impurity. What he means is like this. He says, to understand this more deeply, it means people can reach a very high level of intellectual understanding, but does not mean to say that their physical instincts follow suit. Let's give an example from today. Today we still got them around as well. We had most brilliant professors and doctors of medicine. Very brilliant. Yeah. Very high level. And these were the doctors who made the most cruel experiments on human beings. And this sort of goes on as well in the world, some places. More than that, they've got huge scientists who have a great knowledge of all the aspects of science, and they're using it to produce weapons of destruction for all mankind. They don't care. Also get they get a lot of money for it. The interest in the money, and they're clever and so on. So they say, well, whatever they do with it, let them do what they want. And this is the enormous gap that exists between intellectual excellence and moral behavior. And this is a transformation of the highest levels of Kedusha, which are in the mind, and using them for the worst purposes of the Sotah. It's a good long time. You'll see now further. This is the concept. Now the Rambam says, Shittas Rambam, to carry on, I'm paraphrasing here, the top of the page. The Rambam Pasuk Halacha, V'nei Keturah Chayov Ma'afila V'mila V'chol Averus. The sons of Keturah is meant as Hogah, they have the obligation to have the Brit Milah in all the generations. And what that is their point of holiness. And that gives even the possibility to have existence in the future world, if they fulfill it. Those who fulfill the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and they also do a Milah, like the Muslims do, this is mentioned, this is the Bnei Keturah mentioned here. And although their approach became distorted in many ways, but the Tzotzot HaKedusha, Shecholil Dekmer, they still got sparks of holiness to which they could think. Al Kol Panim B'Seichel, in their intelligence, Gam B'Shah Shemasu, even at a time when they're busy with material matters, they can still reach a level of sparks of holiness. This is what we see today. That the sparks of holiness make a Brit Milah. Therefore, they get like an inner attachment to Hashem in their mind. So in their mind, they always think of Hashem. But unfortunately, there's a huge gap between their mind and their physical instincts. And as a result, you'll find in the name of Hashem, how important the name of Hashem is going to think of innocent people the way they do. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. It could have such a contrast in the human being. Yeah? Because after all, they believe in the God of the Bible, the God of the Quran, who's a merciful God, the kind God, and who's given a commandment we shouldn't murder. And here they just do such cruel things, but two different things, two different worlds. Now the Zohar goes in this more deeply. The Zohar says, what does it mean that Avram gave them presents? So it says, Yahim lehu milin yidiyin v'kitten tatoyim. He gave them words which are known to have a power in the lower crowns. What the lower crowns mean? Chokhmat olam hazeh, the wisdom of this world. They reach a high level of wisdom, this world. As happened in the Far East, they gave great wisdom. V'chan ata ashrelun el eretz keder. And he gave them a place in the land of the east, and from there Yahshu b'nei Kedem Chokmah. That's from the source from which the sons of the east gained their wisdom, and that's why it says that the wisdom of Shlomo was greater than Chokmah Kol b'nei Kedem, was far higher than theirs. And this is also the intention of Rashi. Rashi says he gave them over Chokmah Takishov, the wisdom of magic. And this might, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, page 56, which discusses, is magic forbidden for the Bnei Noach, or are they permitted to follow magic? And with one opinion, it's on the Kama, Kishuv L'Nes of Bnei Noach. The Bnei Noach may engage in magic, because magic at that time, Dayim Ahem, HaKishuv K'mu'amada Shel Hayom. Magic in ancient times was like science is today. Thereby, through the powers of magic, you can organize things in this world. To prepare a good world below, which should be a clean art, which would be a good vessel to raise up the spiritual power of the children of Israel. In other words, the non-Jews, who are really willing to follow the Bnei Noach teachings, they're also permitted to engage in magic, or let's call it today, in scientific application, to make it easier for Jews who've got the highest spiritual purpose. But I want to add to this the following. You can go to the Rambam Keturah, but there's a much more explicit Rambam. The Rambam, he speaks about all the laws of the Torah concerning the priests and the Levites and the laws of Shemitah and Yovel. So at the end of the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, the Rambam comes up with an amazing statement. He says, not only the Levim, they were not given land at all, the Kohanim, because they were to dedicate themselves to the service of Hashem. But he says, Kol echad mibaei olam, any human being who is an inhabitant of this world, if he wants to dedicate his spirit to Hashem and dedicate himself to saintly life, Hashem will provide for all his needs in different ways, and he'll become Kodesh Kodashim, he'll become the Holy of Holies, because he'll get the highest level of spiritual development, and as a result he'll get the highest level also in Olam Haba. So the Rambam goes very far in this. So when we say that the wise people, if they use that wisdom for what is Hashem, they preach at the highest level. The saint, doesn't matter from which tribe they are amongst the people of Israel. It doesn't matter if they're Jews or Gentiles. And that's brought here, I'll paraphrase now, the remark of Carmel at the bottom, page 2, it says that in many places, Rav Dessa speaks and says that the Bnei Noach do not really have a portion in the inner service of Hashem. And for the level which is called doing service, lishmo, for its own sake, for the sake of Hashem. And their portion is mainly to be a tool for the people of Israel. They will develop themselves spiritually, because the other nations, they will build up a large world, which will give a possibility for the physical aspect of life to be developed by them. And feel Israel, they will be the true servants of Hashem, as is described in the prophets. But the truth is, it appears, this is not a complete principle. But we do find Chassidei Umat HaOlam, the saints of the nations of the world, they Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. They have a portion in eternity. And the Tosefta says, Tzadikim Umat Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba. And Olam Haba is equivalent, according to Rambam, to the level of Lishma. Olam Haba means, not because it only comes after life, Olam Haba means living not with the ultimate purpose, the ultimate motivation of being successful in any area except that of saintliness. The person who really, the Rambam explains, the Torah has so many different mitzvahs so that every person will find one of the mitzvot which he will do with complete dedication lishma, and that will be the opening for eternity. And therefore, the Rambam says, even a non-Jew who doesn't have the innermost power of the conscience as a gift from heaven, but he can reach it by working hard and reach the highest level of lishma. And the Gemara Bava Kama says, even a non-Jew who fills himself with the Torah, he is like the high priest, because it says, Asher aseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem. It doesn't say, how does a person live eternally? If he fulfills the mitzvot. It doesn't say, Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael. It says, Adam, any man. And this certainly means that a non-Jew can reach the highest level of inner worship, just like the highest priest who goes right in the Holy of Holies. And Tosfos says, but it says, Atem Kruim Adam. You're called Adam, you Jewish people, but the other nations can't reach that level. So Rabbi Natan says, there's a difference, Adam and Ha-Adam. Adam Stam is the people of Israel. Why? Because these people of Israel have carried on the level of Adam, the first man. We try to keep up that level. Ha'adam, the man, applies even to a non-Jew, the Rin Tam says. And the father of Carmel gave this interpretation. He says, you say an ordinary Jew who learns Torah and really serves Hashem, he reaches a very high level. We say that Kefela Harimon Rakatech, the pomegranate, is empty of real fruit substance. It's just made up of seeds. But it says even the empty ones amongst the Jews, they've got within them the seed which produces the tree of life. They made a mitzvot karimon. That's the ordinary Jew, if he keeps the Torah and the mitzvot. Ha'adam are non-Jews who don't have that tradition of background, but they work on themselves. They become special people, and they can reach the highest possible level, which you'll find also amongst the nations. And as I say, the Rambam emphasizes this, that being the whole concept of the Kohanim and the Levim, amongst the Jewish people also. The Kohanim and the Levim are the highest. And any Jew can also reach a high level, even though he doesn't serve in the Beit HaMikdash, because the purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is to develop the Shechina inside a person. And when Hashem said, this purpose of the people of Israel, the Shechina should rest in their hearts, in their homes, it can apply also to non-Jews, if they work in that direction. Now, you've got any questions on this?
I can lie, it's not a question, it's a commentary. Yeah. I like to say, first of all, there is no such thing as magic. It's an illusion. The person who's doing magic is creating you to believe in an illusion. And if they cut somebody in half in a box or something, it's an illusion. It's not real. They came to a great scholar, Torah sage, his students. They said, we just saw an Arab. He took this camel. He cut the camel in half. He threw a blanket over it, so you can see what was happening. And then he put another blanket over. He put the camel back together. So he said to him, did you see any blood? And they said, no. He said, then he fooled you then.
Look,
it's an illusion. It's not magic, it's an illusion. Because if you did cut a camel in half,
if you look carefully,
it's not always.
Look carefully at the magicians of Pharaoh, it's used in two different words. It's quite clear from the expression of what you especially follow the explanation of Rav Hirsch, that some of them were just using illusions non-stop. Yeah? Like they do today. Like Houdini, they had no, many of them have no external powers, but they've got scientific methods whereby they can create illusions. But magic, especially as it was practiced, even today as it's practiced in primitive tribes, the magicians, they're often those who have greater scientific knowledge. And today we would call them magicians. We would rather call them scientists, better scientists. But the ordinary tribesmen who don't have that knowledge of science, they think they're magical. You understand? Today, the magician has been replaced by the scientist. I'll give you an example which is quite widespread today. There are very many different alternative medical procedures which work with herbs from Africa. Who knows all about the herbs? The magicians. The magician in Africa, it's customary. Many of the tribes, you want to be healed, you go to the magician. What's the magician know? He knows the quality of herbs better than the more primitive populace. And therefore they look at him like a magician. But the truth is, he's just a better scientist. They have better knowledge, like today. Even those who analyze it, the many, many, many different illnesses that today are being approached to alternative medicine on a scientific basis. Yeah. But many people still regard it a bit like magic. Was it Chinese medicine, all these things? Some aspects of it are clearly based upon science. Yeah. But in the eyes of people who don't understand this, didn't study the science in medical college, they're sometimes regarded still as magic. Now, I think here, to conclude it, because he carries on, brings further examples of Panikatura. So, on page 463, so we can also make progress with other things, I just want to paraphrase you the last paragraph here. It says again, to understand more deeply, by this pasuk, you will notice, very interesting, it's recited frequently at the Levaya. At the Levaya, we have seen the Chevra Kadisha. And after the burial, they go in a circle around the Kever, holding hands, and they quote this pasuk, and while also throwing away the Shemot Hatuma. And the Zohar says, Tochazi, it says, Vatera Chochmat Shlomo, Mechochmat Kol B'nei Kedem. The wisdom of Shlomo was greater than the wisdom of all the sons of the East. Who are these? These are from the descendants of the co-wives of Abraham, and they taught magic to human beings. And from that land of the East, there came out Lavan and Beor and Bilam and his son, and all these were all magicians. And although it said there was necessary to that these should become means, vessels for teaching in the future, they contained a certain amount of holy sparks to use, as is described in the previous paragraphs. And he said, all what we call the external wisdom of our time. And today, they teach them, they say, well, it's all like a random element in nature, whatever happens. They try to explain everything, some of them, without accepting God as the creator. And they deny any spiritual roots to physical procedures. In the future, this approach to scientific discovery will all be transformed. Kulan yihafchu lekelim lilmod gudulato v'amuto et barach. Through them, through the scientific discoveries, which are thought to exist through all types of dogmatic, non-religious explanations, the future they recognize as part of the world of nature, its enormous wisdom, the greatness and humility of Hashem. This is what we refer to as the sparks of holiness in Tzok Kedusha, which exists amongst the wisdom of the nations of the world.
But the magicians of Egypt did not produce illusions. They produced physical effects, snakes from steps, and water to blood, which was observable. Yeah. It was not an illusion. It was a fact.
Yeah.
So that classifies as magic? It's not an illusion. It's verifiable by data or by observation.
Well, it's not.